Let's give God some praise. Give God some praise.
Oh, hallelujah.
Let's give God some praise because he's worthy to be praised, amen. He's worthy to be praised, amen. He's worthy to be praised. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I pray right now, Father, that you begin to move right now. Lord, take away from me, Father. Ask you, Lord, to open up the hearts and the minds of each and every person here, Father, to allow your word to go forth, Lord, and to touch and to do that which you have intended to do, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I feel like I haven't preached in a while, and I don't know why. But praise your wonderful name. Today, we're going to take a trip into the Old Testament. And we're going to study a little bit about relationships, friends, and getting to know God. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to start off with the 1 Samuel, for those of you, 1 Samuel, the first chapter. And we're going to begin to read. Amen. Okay.
Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, and the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zip, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of lords, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters, portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli, the priest, sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thee thine handmaid a man child, then I will give unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. May God add a special blessing to the hearing and reading of that word. Eli, the priest. Elkanah, the husband. Hannah, the wife. Elkanah was a man of God. He was a man of God. Why? Because of the fact that he did everything that he was supposed to do that was required of him in his servitude to God. He had two wives. That was a lie. There was nothing wrong with that. One wife was able to have children, the other couldn't. As the word of God teaches us, he favored the wife that couldn't have children a little bit more than he did the one that had the children. That was just how he was. He loved both of them. He had plenty of children, but he had plenty of children. And here's what was going on, though. For Hannah, she went down every year. They made their sacrifices. Other kids was growing up. But the other wife that couldn't have the children did what? Made fun of her. The kids began to mock her. They was saying negative things about her. Mm-hmm. She was like, you imagine, you know, sometimes we don't understand that the things that we say to people can really affect them so negatively. And these kids and their mama were saying some negative things to her to the degree that what? That she decided, you know what, I've had enough. I've had enough. I can't take this no more. And she got real distraught. But what did she do? Oh, hallelujah. You got to see this now. What she decided to do. She didn't run to a friend and begin to tell her business. Amen. She didn't run to a friend and begin to tell them how sorrowful and upset she was.
That's right.
She ran to the altar of God. Amen. And she found herself down here on her knees. And she began to look up. And she started to pray. And when she was praying, she began to cry out to God. But there was no sound coming out. I need you to see this here. She was praying. Amen. She was at the altar. Amen. And she began to speak. And when she began to speak unto God, oh, hallelujah, she began to tell God. She got to talking to him about her sorrows. She got to talking to him about her problem.
Yes,
she got to talking to him about the people that was doing the wrong things to her.
Yes.
And she began to cry to God, Lord, hear my prayer. Father, I'm calling out to you. I'm
yes,
on
Lord.
Bended knee, Lord.
Yeah.
I got some things going on in my life right now.
Yeah.
These people don't understand what I'm feeling.
My
they
life.
Don't understand
yeah.
how it's affecting me.
Yeah.
But Lord, I know you understand, Father.
Yeah.
And I ask you right now, Father, if you please
yeah.
hear my prayer. Please, Father, hear my prayer. And if you do, Lord, I'll make a vow to you, Lord. But see, here's what happened. She was very, very specific with what she asked of God.
That's right.
She said, Lord, I need a man child.
Yeah.
I don't got nothing against women, but I want a boy. And you give me this boy, God. I'm going to take this boy. And I'm going to make sure that he's dedicated and given to you. I'm going to give him right back to you, Lord.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Think about that. You having a child. I don't even want to keep the child. You keep the child, God. I'm going to put him in the service of the world, working for you.
Amen.
So Hannah, that was her prayer to God. Her vow to God. Lord, just step in. But let me tell you something else that was going on in that picture. This was not the norm. See, the custom and the tradition was, when you have an issue and you think you need God's intervention in it, you were supposed to go to the priest and tell Eli, look, man, I'm going to need you to send a prayer to God on my behalf because I'm going through something right now and I need you to step up to the plate and to, you know, do some intercession for me.
Mm-hmm.
But Hannah stepped out of the norm. She said, I don't need to go that route. Why? I've been going that route for the past 15 years. I've been coming up in here. I've been praying every year. I've been giving you this and giving you that and making this sacrifice and that sacrifice. And every year, me and my husband come up here and I ain't seen no results coming from you.
All right.
So she said, I'm going to step out of the norm. I don't need you to pray for me right now. I'm going to get up in this church here, and I'm going to get down here, and I'm going to start praying to God myself. Right. See the message there. Sometimes you need to get on your knees yourself and begin to pray to God. Don't be dependent on the pastor or the sister pastors or the deacon or anybody else to give your petitions to God. When you got an issue, stop praying for your issues. Stop praying for your issues. Stop praying for your issues. Step out of the norm.
Yeah.
She got down there and she began to pray. And Eli thought she was drunk. Because he didn't understand what's going on with this woman up in here. On her knees. I'm seeing her lips move. Things going on. What is happening with her? Why is she in here doing this? She said, I ain't drunk. Not me. I ain't had nothing to drink. I'm down up here because I got a need.
Yeah.
And she told Eli what the need was. Eli blessed her, said, go on. Go on. May the Lord bless you. And she went on about her business. Something else was going on here. Here's what a lot of us don't understand sometimes, is that God moves because of certain reasons, certain things going on in our lives. Sometimes we don't see or understand what motivates God, what drives God to do things in our lives, what makes God take that extra step and get up in there and assist us when we think we need assistance the most. My word to you is God moves by compassion. Amen. Trust me and believe this. How many times have any of you been in the company of somebody and they had an issue and they was crying and you felt sorry for them and it touched you inside? It began to touch you in a way that you was like, man, I really wish I can help them. I really wish I can do something for them. I really wish I can step up to the plate and assist them. Well, God moves in that same way. Think about this scripture in the New Testament, the lady with the issue of blood. You think God didn't have compassion on her when she crawled her way? Think about this. She crawled her way through the street. She crawled her way through the traffic. She was just trying to get there. Trying to get there. If I just get the hand, just get the hand, just get the hand, just get the hand. And as he passed by, she grabbed hold to the hand. She grabbed hold to the hand. Got one of the tassels and held on. Crying out to God, Lord, 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 the compassion of God, the compassion of God. Lord, are you healed at that point? The compassion of God. Sometimes for some of us, we ain't crying to God. We got some issues. We got some things going on in our life. But because we sometimes got bougie attitudes, we too good to cry. We too good to, you know, just let it all hang out. Pastor George said earlier, sometimes you got to get naked before God. He wasn't talking about taking your clothes off. He mean naked before God. When you get down, you just tell God, this is who I am. This is what I got to offer. This is what I'm going through, Lord. This is the help I need, Father. And you begin to allow tears to run down your eyes. Things begin to just start changing in your life. So you got to sometimes just bear it all to God. Show God, Lord, look, Father. This is where I'm at. This is how it's affecting me.
That's right.
And the God that I serve, he moves on compassion.
Yes, he does.
He looks at your life. He looks at your circumstance. He looks at that. And depending on how sincere you are,
yes, he does,
moves God to the degree that he begins to move and make changes in your life that you will never, ever begin to explain to nobody. And when that song comes on again and you hear how great thou art, amen, you'll begin to understand how great thou art, how great thou art, how great is the God that we serve, amen. You see, because God moves like that.
Hallelujah.
Oh, he moves like that because he moves by compassion. Those are the things you have to begin to learn.
What motivates God? What stirs God? Ooh, what little things begin to just make him change the systems in your life?
Yeah.
You begin to learn that about God. You begin to see things changing in your life. Some of us, we just got to get to that point.
Yes.
But we allow God. Just come here, Father. See what I'm going through. But we have to learn, how do I connect with God? How do I change and get a different opinion about God? I'm going to go to a whole nother thing right here. Watch this here. I'm sure that at some point in time in our lives, everybody has what? Called themselves dating. Mm-hmm. At one point in their life, decided it was time to meet somebody. Got interested in someone of the opposite sex, amen. And what happens? Give you a little story. Mike, sitting in your room, it's over here, you got in your little apartment, whatever you got. I'm a little young man, might be myself, you know. Sitting in your little apartment. Got the little windows out there looking at the bus stop. You see the little pretty girls come every week. And this one girl catches your attention, amen. And so you've been looking at her. And one day you decide, you know what? I'm gonna go out here and say something to her. Mm-hmm. And this is how dating starts. So you do your little check, make sure everything's right, and you push on out there. Yo,
what's going on?
How you doing? You know, I've been noticing you. Every time you come to the bus stop, you sure look good. Now that I came up, you can smell good. And you start talking to her real nice and all sweet and stuff. You're giving her your best, whatever you got. You're trying to start something here, amen. You're trying to create something here, amen. So you start, you know, after you realize it, she's looking and she's giggling at you. Yeah, and you don't have nobody. And you say, oh, you don't? Well, I'm available. And then, you know what? You got a phone number? Yeah, I got a phone number. And then y'all talking and y'all, and then all of a sudden you got the phone number. I'm going to call you. And you happy and you got this phone number and you going on back, right? So you going back home. Guess what happens next? You call. You do. And what happens? For any of you that used to date, you be on the phone all night talking. You spend days, weeks, you might invest a month, you may invest 6 months to a year in getting to know that person. Amen. You invest a lot of your time and energy in what? In establishing a relationship with this person.
Yeah.
Because this is how you do it. You have to start somewhere. You have to put an investment in time to get to know people. Well, guess what? You've got to put an investment in time to get to know God, amen. You've got to have that same type of eagerness, that same type of zeal, that same type of push to get to know God. You need to call him up and talk to God sometime, all night long. Well, Lord, here I am. This is here. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, Lord. I like, and sometimes you got to get on your book here and start to read it. Oh, and in the beginning, you got to begin to read the word of God so you can get to know God. This is an investment in God. This is the establishment of a relationship. You have to put the work in order to establish a relationship with God. Amen.
Amen.
Woo! Before you realize it. See, because some of us, we are ground zero with our relationship with God.
That's right.
See, what I didn't tell you about Hannah was, Hannah had all the training there was about God. She'd been going every day, every year, doing what she was required to do, making the sacrifices with her family. She knew about God.
She was trained about God. She, everything there was to know, she understood about God. But what she had not begun to do was establish her personal relationship with God. When she finally got down on her knees and she began to cry out to God, to tell God, this is who I am. This is what's going on. This is what I need from you. This is the help I want. And she began to tell God specifics about herself. The relationship was born.
Yes, yes.
It was created. And God began to identify with her. We got to get to that point in our lives where we understand that I got to get a personal relationship with God. I got to tune in to God. I got to begin to understand what moves God, what stirs God. It's like that when you were spending all that time on that phone, mm-hmm. talking, you begin to understand what colors people like. Mm-hmm. Oh, she likes this color. Mm-hmm. He likes that color. And then y'all begin to get that about each other. You knew what flowers one liked. You knew where they wanted to go, who they wanted to hang out with, who they didn't want to hang out with. You knew, you learned all of that through your building of the relationship that you put all that time in. And trust me, I guarantee you, a bunch of you people out there spend a whole lot of time on some phone or another getting to learn somebody, learn about somebody. Amen?
Amen.
Because that's how it works. You've got to put the time in to learn. You got to put the time in to create the relationship, amen. You got to put that work in, else the relationship really never gets birthed correctly, amen.
That's true.
But some of us, we go through so many things in life, and you start wondering, well, I got so much to do. And you let the cares of the world distract you.
That's right.
You get caught up on, well, I got bills to pay. I don't have time to really read my Bible. I don't have time to go to Bible study. I don't even have time to go to church. You don't have, I don't have time. Well, the word of God, Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness. And then all these other things will begin to be added on to you. You got to begin to understand what the word of God means. It means that you need to put God first in your life. Don't put God secondary or third or fourth. Say, put God at the forefront of what's happening in your life. When you wake up in the morning, you begin to pray to God. When you're moving through the land, you begin to speak to God. When you got an issue, you begin to talk to God. When you have a problem that is on your mind, you get down on your knees and you come before God. When you need to, you start meditating on God. When you have to, you start fasting with God. Oh, hallelujah. There's things that you got to begin to do when you're trying to get to know God in a different way. You have to put the work in. So these things become necessary. But you put God first.
Yes.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You don't. You stop making excuses about, oh, well, I don't have time. You make time for God.
Yes.
Let me tell you this. You make time for God.
That's true.
When God is supposed to be seek ye first. Because I don't have to break that down. Seek ye first. You put God first. Not, well, maybe I'll get a chance to read my Bible. Let me look at, I got to walk and watch Walking Dead, though. As soon as Walking Dead go off, I'm going to pick my Bible up. But let me watch The Walking Dead first. You know. Let me, oh, no. Wait. Oh, no. There's a good movie called on LMA. Or LMA, whatever that is. Let me. Wait, hold. Soon as that one go off, I'm picking. Oh, let me. Wait. I need to make this run someplace real quick. As soon as I make that run, I'm going to come back and maybe I'll do some reading. What happens? You never pick the Bible.
All right.
You always put something else before God, and God never gets picked up. You don't do it. Your intention may have been, well, just let me finish whatever it was that I had on my plate before God, and I'll take care of it. But the bottom line is, you never come back to take care of God. Once you put him to the back burner, you keep going on with the things in your life.
instead of putting God first. Seek ye first. I guarantee you this. Let's go back to that phone number. You know, I was at that bus stop. No girl gave me that number, right? I got the number tonight. You know. I'm gonna pop my collar. I got that. And had I never called her, right? Never called her. I got the number. Month then went by. Guess what happened? She ain't interested in me no more. Oh, time then went by. She decided to move on to somebody else. Why? Because I never created the relationship. I didn't establish the relationship. I didn't take time to get to know her. I found something else that was more, maybe, attractive to me. So I missed out on that. Could have been the best thing ever for me. But I did not invest the time necessary to get to know that one. And sometimes we don't put the time in to get to know God. Amen. This is what they used to teach us back in the day. God gives you a gift. And they used to tell us this real quick. We got the gift of ministry. And he would tell you in a minute, if you don't use that gift, he'll take it and give it to somebody else. Well, that's what he will do. When God is trying to get your attention, amen. You got to be willing to allow God to get your attention. Revelations 3:20 says, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man shall hear, let him open up the door and I will come in and sup with him. Amen. God has been knocking at the door to some of our lives and we have not been able to hear the knock nor the call. Because why? We've got our headphones of life on and here and it's so loud. The music is so loud. I can't hear nothing. He's trying to talk to me, but it beep, 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 beep. I can't hear the call of God. Oh, hallelujah. He wants to say something to some people, but so many things is going on in your life. This is all closed up. He's knocking at the door, but you can't hear. We're looking at the TV. God trying to get you. Hold on, Lord. Wait a minute. What's that? Look at that. He's trying to call you. He's knocking. But you can't hear. Preoccupied with something else. Something else is attracting your attention, amen. God is standing at the door of some of our lives right now, and he wants to come in and sup with us. He wants to come in and dine with us. He wants to come in and begin to say, here I am. If you would only just open up, if you would only just listen, because I've got something greater for you. If you just, oh, hallelujah, begin to put your trust in me, establish a relationship, come to know me, spend time with me, begin to talk to God. Begin to move with God. Oh, hallelujah. You see, here's something else that goes on. For some of us, in the establishment of a relationship, us preachers are guilty of this. We'll begin to teach you behavioral change. And we'll tell you, we'll give you sermon after sermon on what you need to change in your life, amen. You need to stop smoking. You need to stop cussing. You need to stop fornicating. You need to stop this. You need to stop that. And we keep on with this behavioral change teaching about everything that you need to stop doing. Let me tell you, let's go back to the relationship. Girl at the bus stop. Before you made that phone call, you didn't say, well, before I call, listen real clear here. Before I call her, I'm gonna stop hanging out with Robert and John and Bill. I'm gonna stop my smoking. I'm gonna stop cussing. I'm gonna stop going to see these type of movies. I'm gonna stop going to that spot over there. You didn't stop any of that stuff prior to the call. Listen to me real clear here. You don't make the change
You need to establish a relationship so you can begin to understand what things she did not like or what things he did not like. You got to get to know somebody before you start making changes in your life. See, because you don't know what God wants from you. Huh? Yeah. You don't understand that what God requires of you may not be the same thing that he requires of me. I may be okay to listen to R&B and it may offend you. I may be okay to listen to jazz and it may offend you. I may be okay to listen to gospel, but you want to hear some hip-hop Christian music. It's okay. See, you got to understand what God requires. This is a personal relationship. This is one-on-one with God. When you come to know God, you don't say, well, let me make all these changes before you get to know God. You step into the relationship. You get to talking to God. You get to communicating with God. You get to understanding God. You get in your word of God. You begin to learn God. And when you're learning God and you're reading God, God begins to say, this is what I want of you. Woo! Hallelujah. The change does not come before the relationship. So I say this. So you understand this. Establish the time with God.
All right.
Build a relationship with God.
Yes.
Get to know God. Yes. Before you begin talking about, well, I can't go to church because I still do this. I can't get to know God because I'm still involved with this. I don't know how God's going to feel about me because I still got this problem. It ain't your problem. It ain't your problem. God says, I send you the comforter. When you begin, I'm closing. When you begin to create the relationship with God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. When you begin to create the relationship with God.
Yes.
Before you realize it, you was dating that young lady, right? And you found out, well, she don't really like blue, so I stopped wearing blue. She thinks that this cologne here smells better on me than that cologne there, so I stopped wearing that other cologne. Oh, she doesn't like to go over to this spot here. So I stopped going to that spot. Why? Because I want to spend time with her, right?
All right.
I want to spend time with her. So I stopped wearing that cologne. I stopped wearing that color. I stopped hanging out with that person because I want to spend time with her. And when I want to spend time with somebody, I'm going to make the sacrifices that are necessary for me to be with that person. That's how a relationship works. See, that's how God works. When you begin to spend time with God. Hallelujah. And you begin to see what things moves him, what things he don't like, what things he's all turned off by, what things don't motivate him. Then you begin to say, well, I want to spend God with time God.
All right.
I make them sacrifices.
Yeah.
I start creating them changes. I start allowing God. Well, Lord, you know what? Okay. You work on that with me, God, so I can keep this relationship going. And you got to keep that in this right perspective. Don't jump into a bunch of behavior changes without first understanding God. Start the relationship. The title of this sermon, Establishing Your Relationship with God. Understanding what motivates God. Understanding what motivates God. We know he moved by the compassion of Hannah. So that began to motivate him. We know that if we begin to talk to God, learn God, invest time with God, just like a relationship. The relationship with God is no different than the relationship with anybody else. We spent hours, trust me, when I was a teenager, when I was a teenager, I spent plenty of time with him. I spent plenty of time on the phone. Talking. Oh, I have it. I'm sorry. I got it. It's talking to God. Doing things with God. Then when I was trying to establish a relationship with a female, I'd fall asleep on the phone. Talking to her, right? Well, watch this here. For some of you, you probably done it. You be reading. You read it and you fall asleep reading.
And you wake back up and you start reading again.
Amen.
Well, that's what you do.
Yeah.
That's what you do. Just like when you was on that phone talking to that girl and y'all went out, y'all done fell asleep talking. Wake up 4 o'clock, you there, baby? You still there? Yeah, I'm here. Okay. Yeah, I'm here. And y'all start talking all, okay, what do you want? And y'all do, yeah, okay. Do God the same way. Do God the same way.
Yeah,
if you got, don't worry, you fell asleep reading. Wake back, you still there, God? Yeah, I'm still here. And you keep reading. Well, Lord, where did I leave off? Okay, well, maybe I missed that. Let me go back up and just start that one. And you start reading again.
Amen.
You start reading again. This is how you get to know God. You got to get in this. You got to be down here on your knees. You really, I'm serious, you got to have a prayer life. You need this. I don't care, you can get it on the phone, you can, I don't care how you get it, but get it.
Yeah.
Get this. Spend time reading this word. Because
yes.
This is an investment in God. This is an investment in a relationship.
Yeah.
And when you make that relationship investment correctly, you will see and reap the benefits that God has for you.
Amen.
I pray to God that this word touches you, moves with you, and takes root in you as God continues to bless you. Amen. Amen.